Have you ever thought about, oh, how he loves us? Oh, how he loves us. Woo! Man, if that gets getting under your skin, man, something's wrong, you know? I mean, it's just a mind blower how much God loves us. And I pray in the name of Jesus today that you walk out of here really having a deeper understanding of just how much God loves you. Amen. Last week, the Apostle Paul shared a prayer with the believers there at Ephesus, and I believe he shared a prayer with us. And that prayer was this, that we may comprehend the width and the length and the height and the depth of God's love, that we may know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, and that you, my friend, would be filled with the fullness of God. Man, all through his incredible love. But I started asking some questions of that verse last week. First question I asked, well, just how long is God's love? When was it that God first started loving us? Can I tell you, friend, it never started because it's always existed. When will God stop loving us? Can I give you a one-word answer? Never. Amen. How exciting is that? The length of God's love stretches back to your farthest thoughts and stretches forward to your wildest imagination. That's how long God's love is. Well, how wide is God's love then? Well, it's wider than the world. Friend, it's wider than the whole universe. God loved the Pharisee. God loved that woman caught in the act of adultery. God loved Pontius Pilate, who crucified his son. And God loved Hitler, who murdered millions of his people. He loves sinners. And can I tell you that he even loves you? Well, how deep is God's love? Well, his love sunk from the glory of heaven down to the deepest grave here on earth. His love saved the righteous saint and saved the wretched sinner. How deep is God's love? Well, when you think that you have found rock bottom, you got to go deeper than that. That's how deep God's love is. Well, how high is God's love? Well, he loves us all the way to heaven. Somebody say amen. His son Jesus said in John 14:3, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will also be. Hallelujah. He loves you all the way to heaven. There ain't no length that God won't go. There ain't no width that God won't search. There's no depth that he won't dive. There's no height that he won't climb to pour out his love on the likes of you and me. Praise God that his love is as big as the cross. And because God is love, the most important lesson that you and I need to learn on this planet is that love isn't simply a Christian message. It is the Christian message. It is that message that God loves you beyond your wildest imagination. And he showed that love by having his son to die on a criminal's cross. And I pray that through our little mini study here on the love of God, that you will join me as I pray to become burdened, as I pray to become burdened to declare to everybody I know just how much our God loves those whom he has created. It don't matter who they are, and it don't matter what they've done. God loves them just the same. Now, two weeks ago, we began this monumental task of trying to describe the love of God. And even though we are unable to fully understand the full scope of God's love, God has revealed to us many ways that we can understand his love. So what has God said about his love that you and I can understand? Well, last week we began by saying that God says to you that my love for you is unprompted. My love for you is unprompted. In our personal lives, we are taught that if we act right, if we live right, and if we look right, then other people will love us. But God's love ain't like that. God loves simply because he is God, not because you've done anything to earn it. But God also says to you this morning, my love for you is unreasonable. Now, in human terms, God's love is beyond all reason. Humanly speaking, God's love don't make sense. His love for us seems totally irrational. I mean, who loves people that dislike you? Who loves people that hate you? Who loves people that rebel against you? Sounds unreasonable to me. But God also said, my love for you is unending. You see, God has existed always and will always exist. Likewise, God's love is just as eternal as he himself is. He said in Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. An everlasting love. So today, as we continue describing the unprompted, unreasonable, unending love of God, I want you to hear the Father say to you, my love for you is unlimited. In Psalm 139, David wrote this. He said in verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Asking some rhetorical questions to God, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, you're there. If I take wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. In describing the love of God, here we find something else that doesn't quite make sense. We know that God is far beyond us. That's kind of a given in our lives. Isaiah tells us that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We understand that. Yet at the same time, we've got Acts chapter 17 telling us that God is not far from each one of us. That in him we live and we move and we have our being. So God is both beyond us but beside us. And if his love, or if he is beyond us and beside us, so too is his love beyond our understanding, yet right beside us as well. And we know through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's love is within us as well. But in Psalm 139, I want to do something I don't like doing. I never like to change the Word of God, but I just want to provoke a little bit of thought. Since we know that God is everywhere, always, what is true of God must also be true of his love. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to replace some other expressions about God with that word, love. See how this sounds to you and see if it rings true in your life. Back to verse 7. Where can I go from your love? Where can I flee from your love? If I ascend to heaven, your love is there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, your love is there. If I take wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your love shall lead me. And your love shall hold me. See, what is true of God is also true of his love. And so many people are convinced that they have somehow wandered beyond the reach of God's love. They say, oh, God could never love me because blank. But the truth is this. No matter how you fill in that blank, you need to know this. It's a wrong answer. No matter how you fill in that blank, it's always a wrong answer. God could never love me is a totally false assumption, because it can't happen. See, when we seek the love from other people, we factor in things that we think are necessary to earn that love. But God's math don't work that way. God's math is different than human math. See, when you add up all of your flaws, when you add up all of your failures, when we add up all of our foul-ups, we conclude that God could not possibly love me. God's answer is this: I love you anyway. I love you anyway, in spite of your shortcomings, in spite of your sins, in spite of your rebellion. I love you anyway. God says my love for you is unlimited. But God says to you also this morning that my love for you is unchanging. In a world that moves and shifts and changes as fast as ours does, there's one thing that remains constant. And that is the character of God. God said through Malachi, I am the Lord, I do not change. One psalmist said, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Another psalmist said, you are the same and your years have no end. Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now the great theologian John Piper once talked about that joke that most people have about marriage when they say, oh, the honeymoon's over. Anybody ever heard that before? The honeymoon's over. Well, we say that because as human beings, we are unable to keep up that honeymoon level of intensity and affection. We can't foresee the irritations that come when you share a life with another imperfect person. So we can't keep up that honeymoon level of intensity. For example, I can't stay as fit and handsome as I once was, can I, darling? She gave me that. I'll take that all day long. I can't come up with enough new things to do in our marriage to keep our relationship fresh. Piper was talking about that honeymoon level of intensity, that honeymoon level of pleasure, that honeymoon energy, that honeymoon excitement, that honeymoon enthusiasm, that honeymoon enjoyment. We can't keep that level up that way. But God desperately wants us to get it into our brain what he means when he says, I love you with all my heart. I love you with all my heart, with all that's in me as God, I love you. You see, God, with God, the honeymoon never ends. The honeymoon never ends. God has got no problem sustaining that honeymoon level of intensity in his love for me and you. He foresees all of your quirks. If you got quirks, raise your hand. Amen. Don't be shy, because we all got them. God foresees all of your oddness. How many of y'all are odd? Come on, be honest. God foresees all of your weird ways. How many of y'all got weird? What, y'all better all raise your hand now. Come on. Amen. He foresees all that, and guess what? Here comes. He loves you still. He loves you still in spite of all your quirks and weird ways. To God, I'm going to be just as handsome as I ever was. And that ain't saying much, amen? He's decided that he's going to keep what's good and he's going to change what ain't good. And God, as you know, is infinitely creative. We know that God has thought of trillions of new things that we get to do in heaven. He's thought of millions and millions of things so that we'll never be bored for trillions of millennium. He's excited about spending eternity with you. So the thought of being loved forever, of being loved that deeply and that continually, just like a newlywed bride, that should change who you are. It should change who we are. It should make us eager to respond to God, to love him in return. That's all I have for God. I can't do anything in and of myself. All I can do is just love him in return. Now, there's a good side and a better side when it comes to God's unchanging love. The good side is this. Thank goodness, God ain't going to wake up one morning and decide that he's had enough of you. But the better side is that even if you wake up one morning and you decide you've had enough of God, he's still going to love you with all of his heart. God wants you to know this morning that his love for you is unchanging. But he also wants you to know that his love for you is uncomplicated. It's this simple. Y'all ready? Say, I'm ready. God so loved the world, he sent his son, that if you believe in him, you'll have eternal life. That's not that complicated, y'all. Who makes it complicated? We do. Exactly right. We could study that thought that God loves us, sent his son, so that we would have eternal life. We could study that thought for ages. We could write volumes of books about the subject of having a relationship with God. But we need to realize, all in all, it's very uncomplicated. It's as simple as this. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Sing it with me. Yes, he does. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. It's that simple, y'all. But Paul wrote to some folks in Corinth, to a church, in fact, who was trying to complicate the gospel, trying to make it complicated. And when he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, here's what he said to those believers there. He said, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Y'all sang it. Yes, Jesus loves me. It's that simple. "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." See, Paul had already told those Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15 just how simple the gospel was. Here's what he said in the first verse. He said, "Moreover, brethren," brothers and sisters, "I declare to you the gospel." I'm getting ready to tell you what the good news of Jesus is. "I declare to you the good news by which you are also saved." Here it comes. Three easy foundational steps. "For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, And because he died for your sins, according to the scriptures, they buried him. And that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. In those three points lie the foundation of the gospel that we believe. It's just that simple. Let us not overcomplicate the gospel. And as Forrest Gump said, that's all I have to say about that. God's love is unlimited. It's unchanging. And listen, y'all, it is uncomplicated. But God wants you to know also today that my love for you is unconditional. There's that word in the original language of the New Testament, agape. Many of you have heard that word. That word is used in the New Testament to describe God's unconditional love. And agape is a word that describes how God loves imperfect people, but in a perfect way. Agape. See, God perfectly, completely, inclusively, and sacrificially revealed his love through the life and the death of his son, Jesus Christ, for our sins. It's just that simple. It's no wonder, y'all, that that message left the church and started making its way out into the streets. It's no wonder that it spread so quickly through the Mediterranean world. That message was that God loves everyone, that God wants to spend eternity with everyone if they will just turn from their sins and believe in the Son. He loves everyone, not just one nation, not just one group of people, not just the people that speak one language. He loves everyone and desires them all to come to repentance. Friends, God desires to save every human being that he has ever created, to save them from the web of his or her own sin, to spare them. And all he wants in return is this. You knew there had to be a catch, right? This is all God wants in return. He just wants the joy of your fellowship. He just wants the joy of being with you for all eternity. All he wants to do is spend eternity with you. All he wants to do is shower you with his grace. All he wants to do is shower you with his favor. All he wants to do is bless you and encourage you and watch over you. Man, that should make somebody shout in here. What a message! What a message! Never before had the world heard such a message. Think about it. You see, unconditional love flies right in the face of human beings. Unconditional love flies in the face of every drive and instinct in the human nature. Why? Because we love conditionally, don't we? Give me a head nod, y'all. Let's be honest. We love conditionally. We love those whom we consider worthy of our love. But can I tell you today, God's love ain't nothing like that. It's nothing like that. When a Christian looks at what Jesus accomplished on the cross for you and I, you know what they ought to see? They ought to see God's unconditional love. It's love for the utterly unworthy. Every time I see the cross, that's what I remember. That he died for the utterly unworthy. It's a love that comes from God simply because God is love. He can't help it, y'all. He is love, and he wants to pour out that love on you. See, that kind of love could never come from a man. It could never come from a woman. Only God would dare to love in such a way. And so today, I want to ask you, have you accepted the unprompted, unreasonable, unending, unlimited, unchanging, unconditional love of God. Have you accepted that gift? Friend, have you received the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed or every sin you may commit in your future? Would you be willing today to offer God the joy of your fellowship for all eternity? If you can, if you will, not only will you find an amazing relationship with your Creator now, you will also have the assurance of heaven as your eternal home. Coming to church this morning, I heard a song by Micah Tyler called Perfectly. And there's a chorus in there that says, I give you my failures and you give me grace. All of my problems don't push you away. And somehow you love somebody like me. Don't know how you do it, but you love me perfectly. Can I pray for you this morning? Father in heaven, thank you for loving us like you do. Your love that knows no bounds, your love that never quits, your love that never abandons. Father, we have nothing but praise to offer you for loving us like that. Lord, we have to be honest. There are those in our midst this morning. There might be those listening online this morning that have not accepted your unconditional love. How crazy would it be to be offered forgiveness of every sin we've ever committed, but not receive that incredible gift? Lord, how crazy would it be that the only request made of us as forgiven children of God, that we would bring the joy of our fellowship with you for all eternity. God, I'm so looking forward to that. And Father, I pray that your word has fallen on a receptive heart this morning. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, for the one that has not yet accepted, and I do say yet, has not yet accepted your incredible love that you demonstrated, that while we were still sinners, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, would die for us. Lord, the only thing we can say in response to that is thank you. And we offer you the joy of our fellowship for all eternity, Lord. Lord, speak to those as only you can. Lord, let your word ring true in their lives. And God, I pray that everyone will walk out of here with the understanding, with the absolute assurance and knowledge, the absolute comprehension that the God, their Creator, their Father in heaven, adores them. That God loves us. That our Father in heaven loves us with a love that we can't begin to fathom. Father, there are undoubtedly some burdens in this room that need to be brought before the throne of grace. Maybe we've tried it our own way, and as always, it just didn't work very good for us. And so, Father, I pray if there's a prayer burden, Lord, that someone might come to the altar and allow many others to come alongside them and to pray with them, pray for them, and ask you to do what only you can do for the burdens they're carrying. God, thank you for loving us like you do. Thank you for a Jesus that demonstrated that love. And Father, I thank you for the joy of unending eternal fellowship with you in heaven that comes to the believer in Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you stand with me?